thank Thee for the Word of God that we have. We thank Thee for the Jewish race, what they've done in the past. We pray that we might recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, came from this race. Even though they fail so miserably in times, even we today can fail the same way if we're not careful, if we do not know Thy Word. So we pray tonight we might so learn Thy Word that we could be productive and we'd serve the Lord Jesus Christ to the best of our ability. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. We have here a triple oath of the Apostle Paul, who is writing the letter of to the Romans. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Paul says, now I'm telling you the truth, I'm saying a truth, I'm not telling a lie. Notice my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, or in the Holy Spirit. Now we have those who let their conscience be their guide, but here you see Paul is letting his conscience be his guide in the Holy Spirit. As his spirit, as his conscience is purged by the Holy Spirit, or is prodded by the Holy Spirit, then his conscience also bears him witness, and he's bearing his witness to a certain thing. He says, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. I'm my conscience, by the witness of the Holy Spirit, he says that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Paul says, my heart is heavy. Now, we have mentioned time and time again where the heart is, as a man thinks in his heart, and this is where Paul was having continuous heaviness, was in his mind. His mind was always in heaviness, it was always in pain, it was always in unrest, he was always thinking, he was always scheming around and conniving, it was in heaviness in his heart. He says, for I would wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul says, I wish I were accursed from Christ. If I could lead my brethren, if I could lead the Jews, if I could lead Israel, my kinfolks, to Jesus Christ, he said, I'd be willing to go to hell forever myself. Now that's something. And he says, my heart, my mind is continually heavy for these people. He says, I'm always burdened about it. I want them to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Then he says some astounding things here. Of course, that is an astounding thing. He shows us here in these next three or four verses how that Israel had a monopoly on the work of God. Now, in the past, Israel has had a glorious future. God has given to them blessing after blessing after blessing. And he has given them actually eight different things here, and we'll look at them for just a moment. He says he wished he was accursed from Christ for his brethren, for the Jewish race. Notice he says, who are Israelites. This Jewish, these kinsmen were Israelites, or Jewish people. These Jews here, they were Jews. He said, I wish that I were accursed from them, because they are Jews in whom pertaining the adoption. These Jews had the adoption. They were adopted. They were placed, or they were picked out as a nation. God chose these people. He picked them out as a nation. And he had a job for these people to do. You remember we told you time and again how that back in the Old Testament, back there in the early days, that before the time of the confusion of tongues, before the time of Babel, there was one nation, or there were, they were not nations, there were one people. And when they said, we will build a tower to God, and they saw the United Nations there, then God split them up into different nations, and he scattered them all over the world. And God reached down, and he took one nation, a little old Jewish nation, a small nation, a very insignificant nation, through the one man, Abraham, and he brings them up, and he says, this nation, through this nation, the gospel is going to be spread all over the world. And so he picks out this nation, the Jews, Israelites. And he gives them here this adoption. He picks them out to be the nation to disseminate the gospel, to preach the gospel to all the world. See, back before then, it was done in family form. The families would come, and the father would sit down with the children, and he would tell his children about the Lord. And over here the same thing would happen. And here, now, there was confusion. There were different nations. They spoke different languages. And they weren't getting the gospel. And they needed the gospel because they would go to hell if they didn't have it. And so God says, all right, I'm going to adopt this family, this nation, through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob. I'm going to adopt this nation, and they are going to be the nation to spread the gospel. So God picks them out. And not only did he give the Israelites the adoption or pick them out as a nation, but he gave them the glory. Here, this is the Shekinah glory. This is the glory of God. They had the tabernacle there, and in the Holy of Holies, back in the back part of the tabernacle where God dwelt, they had the Shekinah glory. And we see in James, the second chapter, the first verse, that Jesus Christ is the Shekinah glory. And Jesus Christ came through what nation? He came through the Jewish nation. Here the Jews have the Shekinah glory. They have the glory that God gave forth His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So they have the glory. And then notice they have the covenant. They have four different covenants. God reached down and He gave them four different covenants. He gave them the covenant, gave the covenant to Abraham, which was an unconditional covenant. He gave them the Palestinian covenant. He gave them the Davidic covenant. And then He gave the new covenant to Israel. He gave them all four of these covenants. And these covenants have not been fulfilled today. Neither one of these four covenants have been fulfilled. Now, these were unconditional. God says, I'm going to do this for you, Abraham. I'm going to do this for you, David. I'm going to do this in the land of Palestine. And I'm going to give you a new covenant. And neither one of these four have been fulfilled. So Israel still has a future. Now, the reason why these were not fulfilled, do you know why they were not fulfilled? Is because the Jewish race has failed in giving out the gospel. They have failed in presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. They failed in the Old Testament. And so, God took the glory away from them. And now, who has the glory? The church. Today, we have the glory. We have the Lord Jesus Christ to glorify. Now, we have a new covenant. We have a new testament. We live in the age of grace. We live in a time where God has picked out not the Jewish race, not the Jewish nation, but another nation. What nation is that? Every person that's believed in the Lord Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. We have the opportunity to present the gospel. So God gave to Israel the covenant and also the giving of the law, the fourth thing. God gave them the law. Now this is a conditional covenant. You see, the more you kept the law back in the Old Testament, the more God blessed you. You see, a condition. When you do something, God says, I'll do something. And so when they kept the dietary laws, they lived a long time. If they didn't keep the dietary laws, if they ate pork, they died early. If they ate shrimp, they didn't live too long. If they didn't clean, they didn't have the days of purification, they didn't live very long. If they didn't rest on the seventh day, they didn't live very long. If they didn't take off the seventh year, they worked 6 years, and they didn't take off the seventh year, then they didn't live very long, you see. God gave them this covenant. He gave them the law. They had to keep it, but they didn't. They didn't live very long. Then they not only gave them the law, but God gave to Israel, He gave them the services of God. This is worship. Anybody in those days, during the time of Israel, from Abraham to Jesus Christ, if they were to worship God, they were to worship God through the Jewish race. They had the mode of worship. They had the method of worship. And so God gave to them the service. And not only the service, but the promises. Here there's promises. These have promises in two different realms. The promise of eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The promises here are also the promises in time, so that they could live the Christian way of life after they were saved. God gave them all these promises. And then in the fifth verse it says, who are the fathers? Who are the fathers? These are the ancients of the days. These are the ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God gave through the Jewish race, the fathers, out of whom, as pertaining to the flesh, Christ came. Christ came through what race? The Jewish race. These are the eight monopolies that the Jewish race has. And Paul says, for this race, because God has done so much in the past for them, I wish myself a curse from Christ that I might be able to win these people to God. Now, they had not done their job. They had not evangelized. They had not presented the gospel day after day. And so they were cut off. And God picked another race, the church. And that's our job today. And friends, when we do not evangelize, when we do not present the gospel, when we do not discharge our responsibility of presenting Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, then the same thing can happen to us. But God started out with this race. And notice this. What else he says? Who is over all God's blessed forever. Now, why did the Jews fail? Since they had all these things, since they were adopted to be the nation to present the gospel, since they had the glory, the Shekinah glory, the glory of God, the thing where the glory that revealed God in his presence, the Lord Jesus Christ, since they had the four covenants, the unconditional covenants, then the conditional covenants, then the services or the worship, since they had the promises of eternal life and the promises that kept them stable in time where they could live for the Lord Jesus Christ, never have to worry about a thing, and since they had the fathers, the great patriarchs, and since the Lord Jesus Christ was born of the Jewish race, why in the world did they fail? If they had all this, how could they fail? Well, they did. They did. Let's see how they fail. The sixth verse. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect. Even though God gave them all this, does the word of God have no effect upon people? Does the word of God not affect people and move them and send them out to do the job? It looks that way. But notice what it says here. For they are not all Israel, which are Israel. What's he saying? Is this double talk? They are not all Israel, which are Israel. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying just because they are born of Israel, and you know who Israel is, Jacob, the old supplanter, the old deceiver, that rascal, and from Jacob, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, and through him, we have the 12 tribes, or we have the Jewish race, you see. But just because you are born into the Jewish race doesn't mean that you are saved. Israel means Prince of God. Jacob was changed from deceiver, from supplanter, from liar, to a Prince of God. And just because you are born in this family doesn't mean that you are Prince of God. Doesn't mean you are saved. Just like you can join this Baptist church, and that doesn't mean you are going to heaven. All Israel, all Jews are not true Jews, is what he's saying. All Jews that are born of the flesh aren't necessarily born of the Spirit. The thing that makes a person a Jew, the thing that makes a person saved, is regeneration, not birth, not physical birth. So that you see, just like today, a young fellow, a young kid walks down our aisle, and maybe his father's a deacon, or maybe his mother's a Sunday school teacher, or maybe his parents were one of the first ones to join this church, or one of the charter members. And just because his name's on this church roll, they think, I'm going to heaven. I can remember when I walked down the aisle of my church at home. I'd done all they said to do. My mother was one of the best ladies in that church. My father passed on to be with the Lord. I thought, well, I've done everything I know to do, since I'm on the roll there and I've been baptized, I've got... Well, listen, that doesn't mean you're saved. And here's the problem with Israel. They were not all saved. They were not all on their way to heaven. They had not all trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So not all Israel is Israel. But because they hadn't been regenerated. They hadn't been born again. So, the criterion or the real test is regeneration, not physical birth. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, neither because they are born sons of Abraham, are they called children. Notice, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You see, Abraham had two sons. He had, the first son was Ishmael. And Ishmael was an unbeliever. Ishmael never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Isaac, the second son. You see, Ishmael should have been, by his superior birth, by his being the oldest son, that's the one whom the inheritance should come to. The oldest son always received the inheritance. He always received the prominence. But since he did not trust the Lord Jesus as his Savior, it passed down through the second one to Isaac. So Ishmael was bypassed, even though he was the oldest son. Even though he should have received it physically. He was not regenerated. He was not born again. So therefore, he was not a child of God. Isaac, who was saved, Isaac, who did trust Christ as his Savior, you see, it's through Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they, the unsaved Jew in the 8th verse, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. The children of the flesh are not children of God. It doesn't make any difference who your parents may be. It doesn't make any difference how many churches you belong to. Children of God does not come by physical birth or by physical things. It comes by regeneration. That is, they, the Jews, who are unsaved, which are of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The children of the promise. And what's the promise? The promise is God gives eternal life to those who believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, God bypasses everything else. And the reason why the Jews fail, the reason why the Jews failed so miserably, year after year after year, for 400 and better years, even after the captivity in the Babylon, they failed time and time again because they banked on the fact that they were Abraham's seed, just like when Christ was walking on the earth. And there came a teacher, there came one of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. And he prided himself in the fact that he was a Jew. And Jesus pointed his finger and said, you've got to be born again. You see, it's rebirth. It's regeneration that counts. And there were hundreds and thousands of Jews in Jesus' day who prided themselves that they were God's chosen because they were seeds of Abraham. But no, it's the seed of the promise. It's those who are children by promise that receive the heirship, that receive the promise. And we have to be born again. And so often I'm afraid that the reason why our Baptist churches are bogged down, and the reason why we do not move forth, and the reason why we are stalemated, is because we are so full of unregenerate people. We have so many people who have not trusted the blood of Jesus Christ as the payment for their sins. They've never been born again by God's Holy Spirit, by trusting in Jesus. That's why Israel failed, it says here. And I'm afraid that's why we have failed, maybe. It's either that, or we are so unconcerned. Notice the 9th verse. For this is the word of promise. God says, this is what I have promised. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. See, we're back to the same old problem of Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael the older, Isaac the younger. But you see, Sarah's son was Isaac. And not only this, you see, not only Abraham and Isaac, but we have another. We have even a greater one. Notice here what he says. Not only so, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children not being not yet born. Now, Rebekah has twins, you see. And these boys have not been born yet. They haven't even come into the world. They haven't even breathed a breath yet. Notice what the Bible says. For these children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now, naturally, before their birth, they haven't done any good thing. They haven't done any evil thing. They haven't done anything at all. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that called. Now, it's not what these boys did. It's not what they didn't do. It wasn't their evilness. It wasn't their goodness that God called. It's not this. Notice what God said. Before they were born, it is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now we have to go back to God here. God knows all things. God is omniscient. He knows everything. He's known everything from eternity past. He knew how everybody would jump. He knew how everybody would react. He knew who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knew who would not believe. And as we brought out last time, God observed, but that God did not coerce. God did not make people believe, and he does not make people disbelieve. He gives every man a will. He gives every man the choice to believe on Christ or reject Christ. He gives every man a will to eat bacon for breakfast, eat a pork chop or whatever they want. And man has a will. And God does not transcend that will. God does not bend that will. God does not make that person do what he does not want to do. But he observes and he knows what they're going to do. He is an observer. And he has been observing since eternity past. And he knows what you're going to do tomorrow. Now, he does not affect it. I know what some of you are going to do tomorrow. But that doesn't mean that I affect what you're going to do one way or the other. And God's the same way. He gave you a will. And he gave these two boys a will. One was going to believe on him and one was not. He knew from eternity past that the younger was going to be saved. He knew that the younger was going to trust Christ as his Savior. He knew the older was not. Now these two boys, if we look at their lives, we'd probably say Esau was the better of the two boys. You remember Jacob came up, and he and his mother connived around, they schemed around, they lied to the father. And to the fact where that Jacob got the blessing. You remember he put hair on his, got a sheepskin, he put hair on his arms and on the back of his neck. And the father felt around him, and he thought it was the older boy. And it was the younger all the time. He lied. He cheated. He stole his brother's birthright. He was a chisel. That's what his name means. And God knew this from eternity past. And yet God picked that one over the other. He picked Jacob over Esau. Why? Because Jacob was later going to trust Christ as his Savior. Esau never did. And so the line comes down through Isaac, through Jacob. You see, Isaac the younger son, Jacob the younger son. Why? Because one believed, one didn't. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Why did God hate one and love the other? Because one believed, one trusted him, the other did not. And this is the difference. You see why Israel so miserably failed? Because of unbelief. You see why Calvary Baptist Church is so miserably failed? You see why this preacher so miserably failed in my life? You see why you so miserably failed in your life? You see why you can be cast off? Because we don't trust the Lord. Or maybe we trust Christ as our Savior. Maybe we're born again. But that doesn't give us the victory every day in our life. That doesn't give us happiness and joy and peace 24 hours a day in our life. God wants us to trust Him. the 14th verse. What shall we say then? To these things, God blesses one, he curses the other. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unrighteous to love one and to hate the other? Is God unrighteous to bless one and curse the other? No. God forbid it says. For he said to Moses, he goes back here to the Old Testament again. Moses, one of the greatest men in the Bible. Moses, a man brought up in a Gentile, he was a Jew, but he was brought up as a Gentile. You remember the story about Moses? He was in the bulrushes there in the little old basket. And the queen, or the princess, she came along and gets him out and takes him into the palace. And he's raised there with the Egyptians. He's educated with the Egyptians. In fact, he's educated with this Pharaoh here that he talks about here. The Pharaoh that was the president or the king of Egypt at the time of the Exodus. They were both, as boys, played together. They were raised together. They grew up together, and they both had the same opportunities. One of them trusted Christ. The other rejected. One believed, the other did not. Both heard. Moses there in the palace, he heard about Jesus Christ. He heard salvation, and he trusted. Pharaoh rejected. And notice here, for God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. He says, some I will have compassion on, some I will not. Some I will have mercy on, some I will not. All right, what's he talking about? The 16th verse. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth. It's not the man that runs, it's not the man that wills, not the man that works. But it's God who shows mercy. Here once again, he's saying to us, we cannot work our way into a right standing with God. Salvation is a free gift. It's something that we do not deserve and cannot earn. And it's not him that willeth or runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy. Notice here, the 17th verse. For the Scripture saith unto Moses, to Pharaoh. The Scripture says to this Pharaoh, this king, notice, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. God says, I raised up Pharaoh that I might show my power in him. He knew Pharaoh was going to reject him. He knew Pharaoh was going to harden his heart, and he was not going to believe on Christ as his Savior. And yet God still raised him up that he might show forth his power. He might show to the world, it's going to say in a minute, the power of God, how powerful God is, and how he can deliver. Not only a people, a slave people, but he can deliver a person who is enslaved by sin. You see, he's raised up Pharaoh to show his power in him, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. What happened to Pharaoh? The 10 plagues? All these things that happened to Pharaoh. The losing of his oldest son. To have to be in there with all of these different plagues, the lions, the frogs, and the locusts, and all these things. You see, Pharaoh at this time was the wealthiest man in the world. He was the king of the strongest nation in the world. And he had a bunch of little slaves, just a small nation of slaves called Jews. And the strongest nation, the strongest man in the world is not about to let his slaves go. But God, so he could show his power, made this man let his people go. And when it happened, you remember, Moses' father-in-law says, I heard about what God did for Israel. How God took Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh. How he drowned the army. How Pharaoh was completely defeated. And I want to trust Christ as my Savior. We saw this in the Sunday school lesson 2 weeks ago. And God says, because of this incident, the gospel was preached in all the world. and there was world evangelism during Moses' time because of God letting a man get high enough that he'd come along and knock him down and stomp him in the ground because he would not trust him. Old Pharaoh had every opportunity. Every time a plague came along, every time Moses went in there, he preached the gospel. When they put the blood over the doorpost, this was not a thing in the world, but preaching the gospel to him. And he heard it. And he rejected it time and time and time again. He hardened his heart. The Jews have done the same thing. They've hardened their heart. They refuse to believe. We here do the same thing. We get to the place where we say, well, I just can't witness for the Lord. I just can't tell people how to be saved. I just don't have the ability. Well, I can go to church and I can give my money, but that's all I can do. That's what the Jews did. And that's why they fail so miserably. And that's why they're cast off today. Just like we learned this morning, by losing our first love, we can have our lampstand or our testimony taken away. If we refuse to trust the Lord to give us the strength and the power and the determination and the knowledge and the wisdom to win folks for Christ, we're going to dry up and blow away. It's going to happen right here, as it'll happen anywhere in the world. I don't care where it is. It doesn't make any difference how many people happen to be there. Churches are drying up and blowing away on the stem today because people refuse to witness for Christ, refuse to tell the gospel, refuse as the Jews did to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that won't happen here at Calvary. I trust here we'll get our eyes open and we'll get our minds in gear. And we'll get to the place where we, too, trust the Lord enough to give us the power and the wisdom and the knowledge and the know-how and get to work glorifying the Lord and serving Him, that we might not be cast away as Israel was. Well, this is part of Israel in the past. They had a tremendous glory, but it's all gone. It'll come back in the future. There is a future for Israel. I'm glad. There's a future for you. There's a future for me. We all have a future that can be glorious if the same thing doesn't happen to us that happened to them. Shall we pray?